Hey, welcome back to the World Class Podcast. You've got your host, Michelle Miller-McNair here. We are missing Mr. Will Shepherd today, but we are going to say we miss you, Will, and we hope you come back soon. So today, I wanted to just jump in and talk about first-time home buying and what that looks like. And even if you're not a first-time home buyer and you've bought in the past, so many things have changed over time that I would love just to talk about what that looks like. We're going to start from basic stuff today, and quite possibly we will go on to more detailed stuff later on, but we're going to go back to square one. So if you've never, ever, ever thought that you could own a house and don't even know what to do to even get started, some background with me is I'm from a family who not a lot of people have owned houses, and just to be honest with you, most of my folks have had trailer houses, so totally different kind of world. House is a house, whether it has wheels or not, but there are all kinds of different regulations and things that go along with that, and maybe on a future podcast, we'll talk about what it means to own a mobile home and what it means to have a mobile home and what it looks like to buy a mobile home. We've got an awesome agent in our office who she works a lot with mobile homes. We call her the double wide queen. And so I'd love to have her on a future podcast. I would also love that if you are listening to this and you want to know any more about what's going on with real estate or anything really, reach out to us. worldclasspodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you and get to know you a little bit better. We are just getting this thing started, so we're figuring it all out as we go. Just be honest with you, that's what's happened with this podcast is we started it, and then I tried to figure out how to upload it, and then I put it on one platform, and that platform did not work so well, so we had to move on to a different platform, and so we are all over the place with this thing, and hopefully now we've set it on a great platform where we can get out to multiple different streaming platforms. And so wherever you're seeing this at or hearing at, please let us know. We'd love to hear from you. I am all over TikTok and Instagram and Facebook, and which you got to kind of be to hit all the different age demographics, right? So all of those all have the same handle or whatever you call it. I hate calling it handle because it's not like we're a CB radio anymore. If you don't know what a CB radio is, Google it. It's like a prehistoric way to communicate with people. But anyway, everything is Michelle M. Comic. So wherever you're at, just type in at Michelle M. Comic and I should come up. I am a comedian who also does real estate. I've been doing comedy for 16 years and real estate for 4. And so newer to the real estate world and came into it during COVID, but hit the ground running because I wanted to learn everything I possibly could about real estate and helping other people achieve their real estate dreams. That was always a big dream of mine, and it seemed so far out of reach from anything I grew up with that I wanted to see how to make that happen. A big passion for me now has come down to helping people who also never thought that dream could be a reality. My first three deals were all first-time home buyer deals, and none of them were over $200,000 deals. And so if you're anything like our area, anything under $200,000 is really hard to come by, and it's not always in the greatest condition. But these folks were able to get their first ever homes, and that's a stepping stone to the next biggest thing. And just in the few years I've been doing real estate, those houses now, one of them I think has a $50,000 price market increase. So we just recently looked at it because they were looking at what that meant for them to upgrade to something a little bit bigger and better for them. And we're right at 50,000. Other markets would be a little bit more, but just in their area, that's about where they're at. And so wherever you're at in your life or your financial journey, looking at the possibility of owning a house is always a good thing. Even if it's an absolute no at this moment, you got to check it out. You got to see what it means. In some ways, it's like buying a car. In some ways, it's completely different than buying a car. If you ever went to buy a car, they're going to pull your credit score. And not only are they going to pull your credit score, they're going to pull your credit and look at all the things on your credit. They're going to base whether you can have this car off your credit score. So if you've never pulled your own credit score, even before you go to buy a car, pull it. Pull it yourself. There are free websites. I'm not sponsored by any of them, but Credit Karma, FICO score, which is FICO score, myfico.com. FICO will actually tell you what your score is per the lending option. So your FICO score to buy a car is not going to be your FICO score to get a credit card, and it's not going to be your FICO score to get a house. They all have different factors that they put into play to see how good your lending ability is. And so I didn't know any of that when I got into real estate. It's going to be honest with you. I went in blind to buy cars a lot of times, and I think you need to know your negotiating ability based on where you're at. And so it doesn't hurt. Pull your credit score. And if you ever got any questions, reach out. Like, I'd love to help you out. I am not a credit specialist by any means. Everything I've learned over the last few years have been restoring my own credit after a divorce, and even before that because of a repossession. Don't buy things for other people unless you know they're going to pay for it. Don't put your name on a dotted line unless you trust that person. Because if you sign for somebody else because your credit is better and that person defaults on the loan, if that car gets repossessed, if their teeth get repossessed, whatever you got going on, you will be the one hit the credit too. Like, you will get a dent in your credit. And everything that dents your credit or puts a ding on your credit affects it different ways. Like, if you have a hard inquiry, there's a soft inquiry and a hard inquiry. A soft inquiry is where they look at your credit and does not have an effect on your credit score. Hard inquiry, they take a deep dive into your credit and it takes a ding on your score. I've seen it do 10 points. And I've also seen after 2 years when those hard inquiries come off, can go up 10 points. So if you apply or for a card, a credit card, a car, a house, or all the things I keep mentioning over and over again, you get a ding on your credit. Now, if you are applying for a car or a house or shopping around lenders for either one, do it all in the same month. If you have a hard inquiry for the same thing all in the same month, you can pull your credit 3 times and it only be hit 1 time. So do it all within a 30-day span so that you don't get multiple hits at the same time. If you shop in January for a car at one lot and they pull your credit, then you go to February, they pull your credit, and you go in March, that's a hit every single month. So that's 10, 20, 30 points your score can go down. But if you go all in 1 month, doesn't hit as much. Especially if you're shopping for a house, my opinion is talk to 3 different lenders. A lot of people don't know this about lenders, that they work for you. Yes, they're going to tell you, you can do this, you can buy this, you can do that, or you can't, but all of them have different resources. There are some lenders who have the ability to get you financial assistance, down payment grants, all those things. And then some lenders do not have those partnering resources. Not all lenders are created equal. And some lenders work with different banks and mortgage companies who give more options. So talk to this person, talk to the lending officer, and if they don't feel like a good fit for you, just say no. I say talk to 3 different people. If I have a client who contacts me and says, hey, I want to buy a house, I'm going to give you 3 different names and 3 different numbers for 3 different companies. You're going to talk to every one of them. Even before you have them pull anything, have a 5 or 10 minute conversation with them. And if you feel that they're not in your best interest, move on. I have one client who talked to all 3 and he felt that one of the people was pushy and did not fit for them. But then I had the same lender talk to another client and the client say, I like that lender because they're personality is going to fight for me. They're going to make this happen for me. So one person's pushy is another person's aggressive in a good way. So everybody needs to find the best fit for them when it comes to a lender. And then everybody's online. Everybody's checking with the Rocket Mortgage and all those things. Go for it. Check whatever you want. I have a client right now working with Rocket Mortgage and it's going great. Very happy with this lender officer. He's been super helpful. Lots of resources. Go with who you feel comfortable with. I have people who work with Movement Mortgage and local banks. Here's the thing with working with your local bank. I have been told local banks can get you a lower interest rate. I have personally not seen that. Even in the clients that I have who have worked with local banks, their interest rate wasn't any cheaper than a loan officer to another party. So when I say loan officer, this is a loan officer is a person who's advocating on your part to get your mortgage. And it may be through one type of bank, or they might be going through multiple mortgage lenders. And so this lending officer, loan originator, they all have different names, lending agent, it's whatever it is. Ask for a referral. If you're working with a realtor, ask the realtor who they refer you to. Find some information about it online. If you go with an online person and they send you this one person, talk to somebody else too. Not because that person's bad, but you should know all of your options and what's available for you. Like if you go to a car lot, the car lot's going to say, we can get your loan through this bank, and this bank. And then they're going to tell you what the deals are for each one of those places, if you have options. So same thing, find it yourself, the person who works best for you when you're buying a home. This person's going to know all of your financial information. They're going to ask you for bank records going far back. They're going to go through your bank records and be like, what is this deposit for? What is this for? What are you paying this much money for every month? They're going to go through your bills. Hey, why do you have a car payment when you don't own this car? Like, they're going to ask you. So you need to feel comfortable enough to talk to this person about your financial situation. And when they give you some information you don't like they say, hey, your debt to income ratio is too high, we can only approve you for this much house. If you're offended or you're uncomfortable with that type of information coming from that person, you need to find somebody you're more comfortable with. Just being honest, this is a lot of very personal information to be sharing with somebody. You got to make sure that you know who you're talking to. You get a sip of water because I'm talking a lot. All right, so you got a lender. You've shopped for a lender. You found somebody. Oh, banks. Let me go back to the banks first. So a banking officer who works with loans are not bad, but they work banking hours. So they're going to work 9 to 5, 8 to 4, whatever their hours are. But if you're looking at houses Tuesday night at 7 or Saturday at 2, and you need a pre-approval letter, pre-qualification letter to submit an offer on that house, you may not be able to get that offer letter or a pre-approval letter until they're back in the office the next time. So if you shop for a house on Friday night, you love this house, you want to put in an offer, you've already been pre-approved, but you don't have your letter, or you need to know the numbers before you put an offer in, you may not be able to get that bank person until they're back in banking hours on Monday. And by that time, the house could have already went under contract with somebody else. So in my experience, although banking loan officers can be amazing, if you are in a competitive market where you might need to put in an offer in off hours, you might want to go with the lending officer who can get with you on those times, because they're literally all these loan officers that I'm texting, like, all right, he loves the house, he wants to know his numbers. Cool. 20, 30 minutes later, here's your numbers if you go with this house. Okay, great. Here's the offer. I need a pre-approval letter. Like, it's all done within an hour or 2 hours on a Friday night at 7. So depending on the market you're in, and that there is not a surplus of houses, and houses are not sitting on the market for 60, 80, 90, 120 days, there might be a bidding war, and you're going to go into this trying to put an offer in, but without the ability to have your pre-qualification letter or a pre-approval letter, you can't really submit a solid offer on a Friday or a Saturday, and then that seller of that home that you loved may already go under contract on Sunday, and you've missed your opportunity. So that being said, go with wherever you want to go. I've had people try to talk to their bank. I've had people go to their bank. It just, that is a good, bad scenario for a bank loan officer. The other side of it is when you're working on lending, there aren't just, this is your mortgage and this is how you get a mortgage. There are different types of mortgages. Now, before we even get to the mortgage, before I explain that, we've already talked about a little bit about your credit score. You also need to know your income and your debt to income ratio. Debt to income ratios change everything, because how much debt you pay per month as in reflection of what you have coming in is where you're at. Most banks lend, depending on your interest rate, they don't want you to go more than 36 to 46% of a mortgage payment to your debt to income ratio. So what does that look like? I'm about to do a math problem. I'm terrible at math. So this is going to be really interesting. If you make $2,000 a month, right, let me do a calculator because I want to make sure I do the numbers right, because I don't need people messaging me like, you're terrible at numbers. So if you make $2,000 a month and say your debt to income ratio cannot be more than 36%, if you don't pay any bills at all, so there's no debt, you have no credit cards, no loans, no car loans, none of that stuff, your 36% means you can pay $720 in a house payment. Now, that house payment isn't just your mortgage. That's your mortgage insurance. That's your taxes. That's your HOA, all those things. Like, that also gets factored into that. And so, say you make $2,000 a month and you have a car payment that's $250. So, we're going to take $2,000, subtract our $250 payment. That takes you down to $1,750. If you have $1,750 a month and we're going to do 36%, you can only afford a $630 a month payment for a house. That's your debt to income ratio. Now, that can fluctuate. That can go all over the place because if your credit score is so high or you have so much, like, everybody has different factors. So some folks can go up higher, some folks can't. And so that's just something to know. If you pull your credit and your credit says you have a car loan, a personal loan, and 3 credit cards, and all those things add up to $1,000, take that off the top of your income right there. Just take it off, and that's what you got left to play with for the month, basically, of 36% of that. That's kind of my way of doing it. Other places or people might explain a little bit different, but that at least can get you started to understand what you're looking at when you're looking to buy a home. If you're going to add somebody on your loan with you, because people will be like, oh, I don't make enough money, I'm going to add my boyfriend, my girlfriend, my husband, my wife on my loan so that we can afford more. If you put them on your loan, they have to meet all the same financial requirements too. They have to have a good credit score. The mortgage can only go up based on the lowest score. And so if you guys want to get a house, but somebody's got a 580 credit score, your interest rate and your loan options are going to be based on that 580 credit score. Now, I say 580 because that's the lowest I've seen a lender work with. Their interest rate was super high and they had a big down payment, but that was the lowest I've seen. Now, some folks will say, I only work with 620s. Some folks will say 660. And then there are certain lending options that, like, loan types that will only go with a certain credit score. So there's a ton of information. So today we've covered when you pull your own credit score and look at it. MyFICO.com, I think it's how it goes, they will tell you your credit scores. It does cost, but I think there might be a free trial. But you can look at it and say, pull my mortgage FICO. And they'll pull it. And you can do a car, whatever. I did that recently when I bought a new car. And I went in and I was like, I know my score. I know what it is. I know my down payment. I also know what my interest rate should be based on that. That changed everything. Because then they were like, oh, are you sure? So, yes, I do. And I know I want this type of car. So you understanding where you are changes your stance when you purchase a car, a house, anything. Specifically with a mortgage. So pull your FICO score. If it's at a 580, if it's at a 620, you want to get it up. You want to see whatever you can to get the higher score, the better. It's going to make your interest rate better. It's going to make your payments better. All the fun options are going to be available to you. Grants, assistance, all the things. There are ways to get your credit score higher. You know what? Let's bring up that next time. So I'm going to work on getting you guys some information of our credit scores and how to get your credit score a little bit higher, some tips and tricks on how to make that happen. And hopefully you'll tune into our next episode and I will go all over those things. And I hope you guys got some information today that makes you feel a little bit better about when you go to buy your next home. Thank you guys. Have a great day.